the But Here We Go podcast, coming at you from But Here We Go Studios in lovely Dallas, Texas. And special happy Independence Day to everybody. It is the 4th of July when we are recording this, the celebration of our freedom from the tyrannical United Kingdom. And here we are, drinking tea, blowing things up, celebrating America.
Right. I was reminded last night why I hate this holiday so much. And it's because even last night on the 3rd of July, who knows who was just blasting fireworks on our street. We were in the middle of like very close to downtown Dallas in a residential area. It is against the law.
100% against the law.
Yeah, it is not okay. It's also very loud. It is not a good...
it's not safe for houses.
Not a political climate, but like, y'all, we're having some... We've had some gun violence issues. It's very triggering for me to hear a massive explosion right outside my bedroom window. It's not fun. Especially, like, if it's on the 4th, at least I, like, have some sort of expectation.
You're kind of ready for it.
But the day before is just rude and awful.
Now, here's the thing. Unpopular opinion from the two of us in this room. Because today being a Tuesday is now a work night, whereas last night...
You should not be shooting fireworks off tonight.
You should not be shooting fireworks off. Last night, I kind of get it because it was kind of like the weekend.
Right. If with that mentality, it would be a courteous thought.
But there were multiple times where I didn't say anything, but it definitely sounded like somebody just pulled out their gun. Hopefully they were shooting blanks, but they just unloaded a magazine.
Maybe you didn't say anything.
I didn't say anything. I was like, oh, there's somebody celebrating.
See, that's not...
But it sounded legitimate just because of the rhythm of the bangs. And the sound, it sounded more like a gun going off, not fireworks exploding.
This is what I find really interesting. And I think this happened last year, too. They sell fireworks at Target.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when the only way you could get fireworks is if you were out of, like, the city limits at some creepy shack that sold like a ton of ammo, and like that's where you would go to get your fireworks.
Yeah.
But now they're selling it at Target off of Northwest Highway in Skillman. Like, I'm shocked that they are allowed to sell fireworks within city limits.
Yeah. And I always thought that that was a thing where you have to shoot your fireworks off like outside of in unincorporated areas.
Right. That's what I thought too.
And I thought you also had to buy your fireworks in unincorporated areas.
I was under the same assumption.
And I thought that that was one of the reasons people have their like Connex trailers full of fireworks just kind of parked on the side of the road, and that they're there year round because
they're kind of like carnies.
Yeah, it's like some unincorporated little chunk of land. They make a bunch of money during that 2 week period, bing bang bong, they move on.
Right. I don't know. I don't really want to look it up, so if anyone wants to tell us what's going on. But we here's the thing. We cannot go any further.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's English.
We cannot continue this podcast without addressing the elephant in the room.
I thought we're still talking about the 4th of July.
No, but I have to get this off my chest.
There is no elephant in
the
room.
There is this massive elephant. It has been weighing on my chest. There was an inappropriate joke made by Joseph Francis Battier that I said that I was going to edit out. I got so lazy with the editing of the last podcast that I didn't listen to the entire thing and I didn't edit it out. And so it is in, and I feel terrible. I am so embarrassed. I don't know why. What is that? Your phone? Rude. Okay. Please silence your cell phones. So please accept our humble apologies. It should not have been aired, but I'm not going to apologize because Joe and I make jokes like that. So that's like the honest, that's where I've been torn. It is honest, Allie and Joe. Like, we're not hiding anything, but I don't like, Like, what if you run for president one day? What if I run for president one day and that is on the airs? You know what I mean? Like, that's not a good situation.
Yeah. You know, So here's the thing. Here's the thing. That notification on my phone was "Be real."
Oh,
so it's time to be real.
Right.
Sorry, everybody. We are being real, both on the app and also. Just dropped my phone.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Well, anyway,
now we were real.
I'm embarrassed, and I just had to address it. I had to own up to my mistake.
Fair enough.
I mean, it really was. If we want to be fair, it was your mistake, and it was not. I didn't edit it out.
And here's the thing:
I don't even remember what you said, and I'm too embarrassed to go listen to it.
We're not going to listen to it.
I'm not taking it off.
We're not going to talk about it.
Feelings.
But so a few things. Yes, if one of us run for president, we're done. But anybody who runs for president anytime from now on is going to have a scandal. So, like, if our scandal is one sex joke in a podcast, I think we're doing pretty good.
That's true.
I'm sure there are other scandals just waiting. There's skeletons in our closets that we don't even know about.
In our closets?
Yeah, I mean, we've cleaned out our closet multiple times, but who knows what's going to come out.
I'm confused by the metaphor, but...
Anyway. The other thing, we do make sex jokes.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
it's real us, but this is real us. And then, like, what's appropriate?
Then there's polished us.
Well, it's not that I wanted us to be polished, because, again, like, there's six people maybe listen to this podcast. We've said multiple times this podcast is for us, not for anyone else. It's not that I want to be polished. It's just that there is a time and a place, and there's a context where things are appropriate and context where things are not appropriate. And I would argue that a public podcast is the realm of inappropriate.
Yep. The only time where sex jokes are appropriate is during Quiplash. The only time those are appropriate is during Quiplash.
But that's only depending on who we're playing with.
And even then, it's only dependent on those playing. It's the only time it's ever appropriate.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, let's move on before I die of embarrassment.
Anyway, we're going to move on
But I will say, on top of that, we are a house in mourning. We are grieving.
We're very much grieving something.
It has been confirmed after years of speculation, and I mean years of speculation of Joe Battier telling me countless times that Diet Coke was going to give me cancer. News reports and research has come out saying Diet Coke may, in fact,
be cancerous. I have been saying it for years.
I'm low-key devastated. But this is the thing. I've been drinking Diet Coke for the past 8 years while you tell me it's going to cause me cancer. And, like, and I trust, I mean, like, I don't think you're an idiot. So, like, but now, like, if, because I've had a Diet Coke since discovering this.
I bought you a Diet Coke.
You bought me a Diet Coke.
Wait, can I get.
It hits different now.
Am I now going to, like, could that become a scandal? Like, if I start feeding you Diet Coke?
I will say it was morally confusing to me. Why you were giving me and what we're now calling diet cancer.
Is that I could see that at some point. Like I am now feeding you something that is poison.
That's like epidemic.
This is like
the
slow murder.
Slow murder. I'm not sure. But I am devastated. I don't plan on never drinking Diet Coke again, but I think I am going to significantly decrease the amount of Diet Coke
Very good.
Which means here's the thing. I will not drink Coke. It is far too sweet for me. I don't enjoy it. And I don't like drinking empty calories. It's not good for you, which you and I debate about this all the time. But... Zevia, which is, that could be our sponsor for this episode, but they're great. I the taste is not my favorite, it's a little weird. But it is just so gosh darn expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very much so.
It costs more than a dollar per can.
Right. So I'm grieving the loss of my favorite beverage of all time, as well as the loss of our bank
account. Food budget.
But then also just like add a cherry on top of the crap sundae, I had to find out that Diet Pepsi, they took out aspartame 2-3 years ago. So actually Diet Pepsi is safe. And no, sweet listeners, I am not happy about that because Pepsi sucks. But do I need to become a Pepsi person here, to save myself from cancer?
So I'm sure this is going to come to no surprise to you.
Okay.
But being from the North, I was all about Pepsi.
Go home then.
And not to open this can of worms and start digging worms out, but we do have...
Are you choosing violence today?
We do have Pepsi paraphernalia up in the attic.
Why?
Just waiting for the day.
For the day of what? Reckoning?
I'm not sure what the day is.
Are you trying to sell it?
I don't know if it's going to be something we sell. I don't know if it's going to go into...
What are we talking about? Like cups?
We got cups.
Why?
We got bottles.
Why?
We got...
You have just empty
things.
Glass Pepsi bottles? Joseph, these are not worth anything.
Oh, I beg to differ.
I've married...
I beg to differ. But I want to just touch on this real quick.
Right.
For all those people listening, I think there's a few different aspects here. One, all of these sweetened carbonated beverages are bad for you. It's the question of what do you want from your drink of choice. Do you want empty calories? Do you want to be drinking something that is potentially carcinogenic? Which is probably...
Isn't everything...
Realistically, all of them probably are. Like the caramel coloring or the red dye 40.
Isn't like charred pieces of food?
Yeah. Like that is a carcinogen. So basically everything in some way, shape, or form is slowly trying to kill you.
Gosh.
So I think that is where and to the other sweeteners, even if they haven't been labeled as potentially carcinogenic by the FDA, they are still bad for you. There are studies that show that they still cause your blood sugar. Your blood sugar doesn't spike because you're not getting more sugar, but your body thinks it is. So your body goes into overdrive saying, oh, I just ate 2 tablespoons of sugar. I better do something about it.
See, I hear what you say, and the science makes sense in my brain, but sugar in like Diet Coke or any sort of carbonated beverage does not affect me. The caffeine doesn't affect me. That Diet Coke you gave me 2 nights ago, I had it at 9 p.m. at night, and I passed out afterwards.
Yep.
So I think you can grow immunity to that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that is the problem. Because if you grow an immunity to it, and you don't have the ability to metabolize sugar, that is what diabetes is. Your inability to metabolize sugar. And that is where it starts to become a problem.
Right. But I don't have diabetes.
True.
So you're saying right. I'm lucky.
You don't have diabetes. Maybe in 20 years, if we were to keep down the same path,
right?
Maybe then we get diabetes.
And by we, you mean me?
You because of your fake sugar. Me because of my high fructose corn syrup. two different substances, both giving us long-term health problems.
This issue?
Water.
Besides water, boba tea. Boba tea does not have this problem. I swear to God, if research comes out that boba tea is cancerous, I think I'll lose my will to live.
Here's the thing.
That takes out all the fun of my life.
This is what I'm going to say about boba tea. If anybody...
Joe, you've already chosen violence.
If there is anybody out there who is doing studies to try and find a way to say boba tea is bad for you,
happiness.
Yeah, they hate the world.
Thank you.
They are the Joker. They just want to watch the world burn.
I want to watch. That's not.
So if there's somebody actively doing that study, they need to stop.
Before we move on off this topic, because we should move on, this what has just been brought to my mind is like when the movie Super Size Me came out. And I mean, we all knew McDonald's was bad before Super Size Me. But then Super Size Me gave you like data and like a physical representation of how bad McDonald's really was. McDonald's is still killing it. Like, I don't really think it affected them.
I should have bought some stock.
It took me 3 times watching Super Size Me to finally stop eating McDonald's. And I still eat their fries from time to time. And go and get their Diet Coke.
Today.
It's the best. We got
today.
So do you think this research is going to actually change consumers' drinking habits?
I think so. But I don't think it's this specific
research. Because it's not just Diet Coke. It's in a ton of things.
Yeah, I think it is a long time coming. And I also think that it is a U.S. thing. Because I don't remember if we talked about this, but on all of the receipts from Italy, all of the receipts are BPA free.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's receipt paper. Like, who is putting receipt paper in your body? Like, why are we concerned about the level of BPA? So the BPA receipts, the BPA itself is a chemical that has been linked to bad stuff
in
your body.
Because you throw a lot of receipts end up on the ground, rainwater gets in the water and then in your drinking water.
That could be it. Yeah, it could be that way. Because
the number of receipts I see on the ground is gross.
One of the things that the big push, and the only reason I know BPA is because of Nalgene bottles.
Right.
So Nalgene bottles and really, truthfully, almost all of those kind of reusable plastics had BPA in them. And there was this huge push back in the 2008 to 2010 timeframe.
Right.
All of a sudden, everybody talking about how terrible BPA was for your body. And then it was like, oh, we need to do something about it.
Did you just hear that?
No, I didn't.
I heard a firecracker. It's begun.
Firecrackers.
It's begun. Only 8 o'clock.
So I think that, to me, this is one of those that the research has been happening, but now we're going to start seeing people making movement.
But do you think Diet Coke cannot, or by,
Diet Coke
Coca-Cola cannot be surprised that someone was doing this research?
No.
So you would think that they would have already been working on a different formula for Diet Coke, using different sweeteners, a different because Diet Coke is Diet Coke is more popular than Coke.
So, 3 things on that. One, they already do that because they have Diet Coke made with Splenda. So they are doing
Splenda
it.
Splenda was aspartame.
No, Splenda is a different sweetener, artificial
Where
sweetener.
Where can I buy Diet Coke with Splenda? And you yell at me whenever I use Splenda.
Splenda is also bad for you. That's why.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. They need to have a better alternative.
They need to start making a Diet Coke with stevia or with monk fruit extract.
Oh, it's going to mess up the flavor.
They got to work on it. So they are doing other formulations. Coke Zero.
Can you confirm this? How do you know so much about the inner workings?
I'm only saying I can confirm it because they've got Diet Coke with Splenda.
Oh, okay.
So they already have that. They also have the Coke Zero. Coke Zero is their official, zero calorie or diet Coca-Cola drink. That's the official one that is their worldwide low calorie drink.
But that has aspartame in it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the only difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero is that Coke Zero somehow removed the quote-unquote funny aftertaste.
It's a different formulation.
Right.
Basically, it's a different recipe.
But it's using the same cancerous sweetener.
So they're going to need to find a way to remove it. Or maybe they don't find a way to remove it. And as long as it stays as something you can put into drinks. Because we still sell cigarettes. We're never going to stop selling cigarettes.
Am I going to have to read a cancer label? If they put a cancer label on every Diet Coke can I get, that would get it for me. Yeah. I don't know how people smoke with that cancer label on it. I mean, I understand nicotine's addictive, but man, the ones in Italy were scary.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know what's coming.
Moving on.
I do think that I do think habits are changing. That's why you've got 17 different companies selling carbonated water with hints of stuff.
Right.
Which, don't get me wrong.
Don't hate on LaCroix.
Like, they're good. I like them. But I'm very upset that I am paying more for carbonated water with a hint of flavor than I am for something that is
flavor
for like a Dr. Pepper. Like Dr. Pepper, yeah, it's empty calories, but it has this punch of flavor with those calories versus bubbly lime water.
Anyway. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I have three words for you.
Before you get into that, I remembered the article that I wanted to talk about last time.
Stop. Well, just stop everything before you forget again. What was it?
It was the orcas.
The orcas.
Remember how...
Why would you bring that up now?
People were talking about the orcas. The orcas attacking ships.
Are you team orca or team boat? That's the current debate on social media.
Is it really?
This was like last week.
People are talking about this still?
Here's the thing.
I thought it was too old now.
Here's the thing. The orcas happened. Oh, that is
so
right
many
before
happened.
The submersible happened, which
where,
we, don't
we, made
even,
a,
we don't even need to get into this.
We made a decision at Patiwigo Media that we are not going
to
discuss the submersible. So that is the end of that conversation.
But in the same vein, the orca story, everyone is like, take that, boat people. Like, yeah, I hope the orcas kill it. People are getting real dark. Like, I mean, I know we're divisive, but like, yeah, people were really happy about the orcas potentially hurting people. And I'm like, I don't know. I can't get behind violence of any kind. I do think it's interesting that the ocean in many forms is like...
it's coming back for us.
Claim. I personally am terrified of all things ocean. So I will not be going into the ocean anytime soon. So it doesn't affect me. But I do think it's really interesting that the orcas, and it's not just one pod anymore. It's like different pods now.
Man.
Fascinating.
Here's what it makes me think of. Makes me think of the Simpsons episode.
I haven't seen any.
Yeah, that's fine. But some of our viewers might have. There's a Simpsons episode where all of the dolphins came back onto land. I say came back onto land because at some point they were on land creatures. And came back, told all of the humans, we used to be here, you kicked us out, we're taking it back. And a few people tried to fight back, and they got beat up pretty bad by the dolphins.
Did you know that the Simpsons predicted the submersible, too?
Yeah, that's what the internet said. I just think the Simpsons is a great, great show.
Always funny. I need you to think of what you like. If I could only watch one Simpsons episode of like your favorite,
it's impossible.
You need to pick it, and then I will sit and that will. And I'm not saying I won't watch anymore. I'm just saying I want you to pick the very first Simpsons episode I will ever watch.
That is absolutely impossible.
It cannot be that. I'm sure there's a list somewhere.
This is the
order to watch.
There are so many Simpsons episodes. All I'm saying is that is an impossible task.
Okay. Fine. I'll pick it myself. I will do the impossible. And that's randomly selecting an episode.
Lovely. That'll be great.
Are there any bad episodes?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of bad episodes. I mean, it's not a perfect show.
Right. What did you want to say about the orcas?
I just wanted to say that was what I wanted to bring up.
Wow. I'm proud of you for remembering it.
Yeah, I remembered it. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
But it...
They don't know if the orcas are like straight up trying to hurt people or if they're just being playful.
Or if they're just fighting back.
Yeah. You know, we haven't interviewed one yet. So,
yeah.
Jury's out.
Maybe Batirigo Media
can be the first
to interview an orca.
Do you speak whale?
No, but...
Do you speak orca? Because they are different.
But I will go and find one. Maybe there's one at like a SeaWorld somewhere
last
that I can
thing,
go talk to.
Last thing I'll say about the submersible, but while everything was going on with the submersible, because I was keyed in, y'all. Still am. They kept playing this video.
What do you mean
video.
You still are?
There's still stuff coming out. Don't worry about
people
it.
People are still talking about it?
We're not talking about it on this podcast. No, people were reposting this video that's been on the internet for a long time, but it essentially shows you how deep the ocean is. And y'all, I love that video because it's like very well made and like very much helps you realize it. But I also find it just like insanely terrifying. Like the ocean is deep. Deep. Too deep, if you ask me. And that's all I have to say about that.
The ocean is a crazy, crazy place.
It's bananas.
Yeah. But I do love seafood.
That makes one of us. I like some seafood. Okay, ready? This may be the only article that we'll talk about that I came prepared for. But I have three words for you, Joseph Francis Battier. Flame-throwing robot dogs.
Flame-throwing robot dogs?
Yes.
Who made these?
This is a true story. I have a photo of it. Some company, I want to say... You know, I'm not going to say where it's from unless I see it.
Can I get that?
Yeah, it's done. A company called Throw Flame. Here, let me pardon the... Oh, okay. It is a company called Throw Flame that is... I don't know if they've manufactured one yet or they're getting backers, but it is in fact a... It's exactly what it said. It's a flame-throwing robot dog. Is that not the craziest thing? How is that useful? Would this be available to any... Like, for anyone to purchase slash... Can anyone buy a flamethrower thing? Or do you
have, no.
Is that like government only or like police only? Who has flamethrowers?
I don't. I honestly
like
don't even.
Movies.
Yeah, I don't even know who has or uses flamethrowers anymore.
Right.
It doesn't.
What do you mean anymore?
Well, if you were to read the first like three sentences of the article, it says. The horrifying trenches of World War One, the island-hopping Pacific campaigns of World War Two. If you want to go the fictional route, think of Ripley confronting Xenomorph Queen at the end of Aliens.
Yeah, that's what I had in my head.
So those are like them talking about the times when flamethrowers were used.
Right.
So yeah, they were used in the past. But it is like a middle ground between hand-to-hand combat and more modern warfare of gunfights.
I could see it. Well, I don't know. Would like a flame-throwing drone be more like useful than a flame-throwing? I can barely say flame-throwing. Flame-throwing robot dog. Why is it got to be a dog?
Fun story about the dog. That dog...
This is that famous robot dog.
I certainly hope it's not. I'm sure it's not sanctioned by the robot dog. And we won't give any specific names to the robot dog. But everybody knows the robot dogs.
This is Flamebot 9000.
Yeah, so this is the Flamebot 9000. But those robot dogs are very well used in the oil and gas industry. Because...
Why?
They basically do a whole lot of safety checking. So they can get around, they can see things, they can go and view and see and get into areas that they don't want humans to have to go and get into. So
that makes sense.
So those are basically almost a safety protocol and a safety management tool in the oil and gas industry. And so they can be programmed to do very, very specific tasks and to go see very specific things. So these flame-throwing dog cousins seem to be I could see it being used for good in the sense that you have to go and like do a mass cleanup of something.
Right.
Okay, you can go and do that.
Like a controlled burn.
Or you can go and like create wildfire stops. That's one of the ways they do it. They actually burn in stop lines for the wildfires. So there's a lot of potential uses for these dogs. But then again, my thoughts go to Dr. Evil from Austin Powers, and it's like, all right, we'll have mechanical dogs.
A whole fleet.
With flamethrowers.
Well, can they be hacked? Are they on Bluetooth?
They...
So many questions.
Well,
technology.
Most of the time when I see these electronic dogs, they're being controlled by what looks like not a PS3 controller, like some submersibles we know, but instead it looks more of like a little tablet touchscreen,
right.
Pretty in-depth remote control. So it's some type of Bluetooth connection, but I think a lot of them, especially when you're talking about the ones that are actually in use and in operation, they have to be on some type of either local Wi-Fi or a larger Wi-Fi network, because they're sending data that is then being used to make safety decisions and operational decisions.
Hmm.
So I would guess if it's connected to something and it's electronic, then yes, it could be hacked.
Well, there you go. Bad idea number 7022.
I think this could make a good
disaster movie.
B-rated horror film.
Yeah. Flamethrowing.
Attack of the flame-throwing dogs. They all got hacked by an evil genius.
It's kind of like a laser shooting robot in my mind. It's like the closest we've gotten to a laser shooting robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also wonder, nowadays with so much fire retardant material, are people even really afraid of fire anymore?
I don't own flame retardant clothing.
No, like our house would burn up like a little matchbox. But I'm thinking of places like big cities. Most of the buildings
have fire stops.
They've got fire. Yeah, I would
fire
think that
walls.
I would think that most of those are pretty safe against flame throwing robots.
This, though, it doesn't mean that they're like not going to burn. It just means that like structurally, they're not going to like there is still significant damage, and it is still dangerous to the people living there. It's not like the fire doesn't burn anything. Like, don't worry, guys. We got this. It's impossible to have a fire.
People just laughing at the flame-throwing dogs. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited.
About buildings.
I'm excited for the future.
Oh, yeah.
Flame-throwing dogs.
I'm not concerned about the flame-throwing dogs. It's just, like, was not on my...
Not on your radar.
No.
You weren't ready for that this year.
I just feel like the funding could have been put to better use, truthfully. Like, what problem are you solving?
Like, what about water-throwing dogs?
Or, like, robot dogs that clean up trash. And you can send them into, like, you know, like, those gigantic trash piles in, like, India and, like...
But they do that.
Robot dogs?
No, the flame-throwing dogs. They just set it all on fire and watch it burn.
That's, like, bad for the air quality.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff is probably BPA.
It probably is toxic, yeah. But they're cleaning that ground up real fast.
You don't know that they're doing this. They're not doing this. We have no idea that they're doing this. All I'm saying is that if we're going to have AI and we're going to have robots, make them do things that people don't want to do, like clean up trash or, I don't know, what's...
This is a really good point, because if you gave me the option of... You had a huge trash pile, and you could either set it on fire or you could pick it up and take it to a landfill. I'd rather just set it on fire, because that would be so much more fun.
All I'm saying is that people, and this is like, we're going too off tangent, but which I'm taking us too off tangent. Everyone's talking about AIs taking jobs away. I think one of my biggest complaints about, and I'm kind of like thinking out loud about AI in like robot form or whatever, is that they literally are doing things that we don't need them to do. The only people they are actually helping are people who make money off of them or who can use AI instead of hiring people. Like, it's not truly making the world a better place. It's making rich people more money. Like, and I, that's fine. Like, I'm not saying that they don't, that they, you know, they're, this is not like an anti-rich statement. I'm just saying, if we're going to make a new technology, like, my hope is that it would actually be like useful for the majority of the world, not just like the top 10% of the world. Cause since like, again, like you're doing more harm than you are helping, and you're only really helping yourself. Like, I don't, does that make sense?
Yep.
I don't,
well, I
make the AI actually do things that is helpful.
I think there's two comments on this. The first one, 100% agree with you. We are definitely on the route towards Idiocracy. That movie with
right.
with the other Wilson, and he ended up president because he was the most average person there was. And anyway, yes, we are on our route to Idiocracy, 100%, which is a problem, in case people don't understand that. And I think to be optimistic about AI, there are companies who are wanting to do good with it. And in a idyllic sort of world, an idyllic look on it, if you free up enough time, enough space, and enough whatever, you could start getting to the point of providing a universal basic income. So
who would provide this?
Who knows? I mean, the universe, I guess. It's universal. But there are ideas here, and I don't know if these will ever come to light or whatnot, but there are different browsers, there are different other, they're like social media platforms, all these different things that all of the data that you generate, mm-hmm. and all of everything that you do should be yours.
100%.
And there are companies, goals, nonprofits, whatever you want to call them, that are making, like, one of them I think is called like the Lion browser. It doesn't allow any, like, they don't sell out ad space like all of the other websites.
Right.
They allow you to click and tell people, yes, I will let you show me an ad. And then you get revenue from that ad being served on your browser to you.
Wow.
So it's basically the idea of, like, if you own all your data, you can then sell it to people.
Right.
And in that sense, you are now, by being a consumer of the internet, you are also making money, because everybody is always trying to sell you stuff on the internet.
Right.
So that is one way to think of it as it's kind of like a universal basic income.
Right.
If you are already wealthy enough to have access to the internet and have access
But this
large
is,
communication.
In that same vein, though, and please correct me because I may not be understanding this correctly, but like the AI, like ChatGPT, whatever, it is scanning everything that is on the internet to formulate a response to your questions, correct?
Yes.
So it's, in theory, stealing data from you and other people and making money off of data that it didn't purchase, and that is not theirs. And so these AIs that are like taking over, or the fear is that they will take these jobs away, they are taking jobs away from the people, the very people they are stealing data from.
I think I understand where you're going with that. I also think I'm a little bit confused.
It's okay. We're all confused.
I think it... So, yes, the existing data and the existing information out there...
Right, because we don't
own it. That is what they... Yeah, because we don't own it, that is what was used to train the...
Correct.
The algorithm. Now that is one part. When you train ChatGPT, it doesn't continually go back and rebuild the whole model. So it's not a... This is where I don't know all the details, but I do know it, like, it goes through one big training, and then it is then responding to what you write.
Right, but
it's not necessarily...
Did that company have to buy the data that it used to train the AI on? Or is it just public information? Because we don't own what we put on the internet anymore, depending on where you put
it. It may have, it probably got all of it, presumably for free.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, in some way. But
so we
but
have
yes.
created our own replacements.
But not exactly, because people are always going to be wanting to sell to us. There's always going to be a market and a market supply and demand. And when it comes to something like next season's fashion, they will tell us what they want us to buy, but they don't know if we want to buy the...
And by they, are you talking about AI?
They being...
The powers that be.
Being the market.
Got it.
They don't know if we want to buy, like, cowboy apparel or if we want to buy...
No, they tell us if they want
city apparel. I don't know.
It is a parent who does not have fashion sense.
So all of that to say, there will still be a level of real time data that they need.
Right.
They need to know, like, what you're feeling, what you're interested in, and what fashion to be sending you in order to get you to buy it. So I think that there are aspects of where they're always wanting the newest, best data, even if these models have already been trained on all the existing data. So I think there is optimism there that you can, that with advances in technology, ultimately you still need the people, because what you're doing is to sum it all up, you're trying to find people to sell stuff to. I mean, that's kind of what everything
is. People
can't
buy something if they don't have a job.
Yeah. If they don't have money, they can't buy anything. If they can't buy anything, you don't have anybody to sell anything to.
I predict in maybe the next 100 years that there will be, like, severe regulations in what AI can and cannot do in terms of employment. Like,
could
I
be.
Think that they'll either be forced to insert some sort of regulations, or, like, the market will create them themselves.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that AI in employment will be short-lived in certain sectors.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole. I think AI is accelerating this, but I think there is also a larger, this other conversation that people are having, talking about deflation. So right now we have this crazy inflation of the economy, but at some point...
The recession's coming,
but there's also this thought of, like, if we stop having rising incomes, and we stop, like, being able to get new jobs, and we stop being able to buy anything, all of a sudden we're going to have a stagnant economy.
Right.
Nobody's going to be growing. Nothing's going to be growing. And in fact, we will actually have to start lowering prices on everything.
Right.
And then we'll be in a deflationary economy. And what happens then? Because right now, my understanding, you actually have a business degree, but my understanding is that everything is on the the first principle of like macroeconomics is that everything is always growing. And so if we don't have this growing economy in general, like exponential GDP growth, then most economic theory is going to be have to be rethought.
I do have a bachelor's of science in economics. I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't consider that basic economic theory, mainly because, again, I have a degree in economics and I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't think we've, other than like maybe like the dark ages, I don't think we've ever been in a consecutive like long-term period of deep deflation, of like, we've never had like 50 years of a shrinking economy. Like that's like an apocalypse type situation. I don't think we'll, but that would take a massive like worldwide problem to sustain an like that level of economic breakdown.
Yeah.
I mean, deflation is not good. And that's where you see like the Great Depression and where people lose jobs and all that bad stuff. And that happens. But the economy still, like, it's like, you know, the way what I heard you say was that, like, the whole world is going to fall apart because deflation is the exact opposite of what, of basic economics.
Yep. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I truly don't remember a lot of my economics classes, so maybe you're right. I took environmental economics and, well, I did take labor economics. But it was just like a lot of graphs.
I would imagine that is one of those things that it's probably just labeled as, oh, deflation is bad. That brings about the Great Depression. The only way to get out of a depression is war. So deflation is bad.
I think, well, it's definitely not good. I think certain political persuasions like to, I mean, honestly, all of political persuasions love to stoke fear and panic in order to, you know, get what they want. But like in truthfully, like because we live in a capitalistic and consumerist economy, like it's not a good situation. Like if people don't buy things because of how our society is set up, if you do not buy things, bad things happen. So it is kind of like a, you know, you're stuck on the little hamster wheel of like consistently buying things that you don't need almost for the sake of like, that's like, you know, the whole buy American thing, like, which I get it, like buying America makes sense. But at the end of the day, you're literally just buying random crap that you don't need, which then goes to a landfill, which is causing other, like, it's just like it causes different problems, but it keeps the rat race going.
It's true. Now, small PSA. If you have things that you're going to be throwing out that are perfectly good,
please don't give it to us.
Bring it all to us.
We have too much.
We will have a sale, and then we will take those proceeds to donate to the Battir House Fund.
No, I don't like any of that. Gross. Well, no. Go, no. Put it on Craigslist. That's an easy way to give
it. Put it on Craigslist. Bring it to Goodwill. Do something with it. If it is still in working condition, don't bring it to a landfill.
Don't
even put it on Craigslist for free.
Right.
Or Facebook Marketplace for free.
If I see another like really cool item on the side of the road, I'm just going to cry. It's too much. At least, try to do something with it.
The only things we put on the side of the road are things that we got from the side of the road. That Jake has decided he's ready to give up.
Trash that we got from other trash places.
Or things we've gotten from the side of the road that we have since broken.
Right. I'm tired.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up.
Yep. So the sponsor this week, because of everything, Zevia. Zevia is one of those beautiful, exciting, optimistic parts of the future. We all love carbonated beverages. We all love that sweet, sweet flavor of whatever your drink of choice is. But we don't like cancer. And Zevia is one of those drinks that they're trying to do it. They're trying to give us the sweetness, trying to give us the bubbles. They're trying to give us all of the stuff we want without any of the bad things. So Zevia, hey, thanks for taking about $100 from us this week so that way we could restock our fridge. But with that, we are going to go.
I have more fireworks.
But here we go.
Bye.
Bye-bye.